But of late my people do rise up with haste in splendid clothing and run across into hiding away from battle. Micah 2 and 8 from the version of yours truly from 2003, our daily scripture for today, little children. You know, when I look back at the work I did during the time when I researched the article Joseph and Own, it was far more work that I'm doing than I am doing currently, you know, with regard to how much research was expended, like day after day after day, hour after hour. And even so, there are, I've noticed now another typo, so that, or there are some things I found that were typos in the source. So the source might have been optical character recognition scanned, you know, and then the book might have been scanned and recognized using optical character recognition, so that the word you, E-W-E, was rendered as Eve. And that happened in another place in Easton's Bible Dictionary, which is another source I quote later in the article Joseph and Own. And wrongly, I say again that Easton's Bible Dictionary says that Rachel means Eve, but it doesn't. It doesn't mean Eve, it means you, E-W-E. The female sheep is what the word Rachel means as a word. Now, as a name, of course, it means more than that. It represents the human being to whom it's given as a name. So it is a name as well as it means the female sheep. But the female sheep, the ewe, E-W-E, it just so happens, is remarkably similar with that letter W being, you know, transliterable or transliteratable into the V, right? So E-W-E easily becomes E-V-E in the English language and in translating it or transliterating it into other languages. If the W itself is just transliterated from one language to the other, it becomes a V sound. In German, for example, the W is pronounced the same as the English V sound. But that, there's no German word that's the same as, well, maybe, yeah, there is probably. Is there one? Juva or Eva or... There's Ava, right? Ava is a name given, but that's in spelled E-V-A. But, yeah, we'd have to research this word U, E-W-E, far more, you know, to find out whether it really is connected to the name Eve or not. We haven't done that, and I never did attempt to do that. I just used the sources that I was finding online, and unfortunately, I found another example where Easton's Bible Dictionary also, if you quote it from a certain source online, it misspells that word E-W-E as E-V-E. But it's still not wrong, because we know that there are too many parallels to say that Rachel is not connected to this person known as Night, and therefore Eve, which is the same word for night, the same meaning in the English language as night. The same word, evening, night, you know, the same idea. It conveys the same idea. And it's spelled so similarly with the W and the V being almost the same letter. I mean, it's V is a U, right? Originally, I mean, in the Greek, it's the V, is, or the U letter sound, upsilon, is spelt as a V in Greek. So W, that's why it's called W, which looks like a double V. And in French it's called double V, I think, right? So, I mean, it's a double V, which is very similar to a V. I mean, in English, there's no difference between a W and a V, essentially. So there's no problem with translating E-W-E, or transliterating as it as E-V-E. No real problem. It's just I wasn't very what's the word? You know, I wasn't very thorough. That's the word. I wasn't very thorough in my research of that particular idea of Eve. It's just, even so, even though it is a typographical error, and it has nothing to do with the wife of Adam, who's also called Eve, but even though it's just a typographical error, it's it is a perfect correspondence, and we see there are many correspondences between the ancient Egyptian language and English, and also between the Hebrew language and English. We see there are many correspondences. So for it to work in English, that we can just change the letter W to a V and have it mean the word evening or night, which is the same as the name of this goddess, Night, Nut, Night or Neat, who is also the wife of Geb, mother of Osiris, and who fits perfectly with the goddess Rachel. But we saw earlier, too, in yesterday's study. And today we're going to look at paragraphs 40, beginning with Heinrich Schliemann, and then 41 and 42. Those three. And maybe 43. And whatever we have time for, even maybe 44. Yeah, because mild-eyed Euryphasa, 44 paragraph, paragraph 44, mild-eyed Euryphasa, remember that that's an, by the way, first of all, that's another name for the wife of Hyperion. And Hyperion, it means lord, or it means hyper, means over, above. So hyper and yon is ion, is the Egyptian name for own, or another form of it, iunu or yon or own. So, and maybe this is even where the word in English yonder comes from, yon village, you know, could be yon, own, the city of own in Egypt is, might be the origin of that. I wouldn't be surprised, but so many things that we have came from Egypt and from Hebrew. But Hyperion means over the city of On, the Lord of On. And that's, of course, Jacob's identity, because he's the father of Helios, and Helios is the sun god who was ruling in that city of Heliopolis, right? The city of the god Helios, or it's also called in Egyptian, On, the city of On, Heliopolis. Now, Hyperion was, maybe we're not even going to cover those other paragraphs. We're just going to talk about it, maybe. I don't know. But this Hyperion, I wanted to bring this up. It's the Greek god corresponding to Jacob, and his wife is, we know, Rachel in the Bible is the wife of Jacob that's being talked about here. But she's also called Thea of many names. Again, we have that idea of, it, again, a name like Rhea that rhymes with Thea, which we saw before, was Rhea was the wife of another of the Greek gods, right? Which one was it? We have to look it up. But Thea, because I just, who's Rhea? Where are we here? One third of the way down. By the way, I just want to point out some very important things. Cronus, she's the wife of Cronus. Right, Rhea is the wife of Cronus, and Cronus, we saw, corresponds really well. Thea? Yeah, Cronus corresponds to Jacob also really well. Now, Hyperion corresponds to Jacob really well. His wife's name is Thea of many names. We know that that rhymes with Leah also, but we don't think it's Leah. We think it's Rachel, because she was the one that was the mother of Joseph, who was the one who became so famous in Egypt as being the one who saved the whole country of Egypt. And even Poseidon being the god of horses, that's another thing we can look for. In the Bible, we see that, and before we leave this reference here, well, we can come back to it, but Genesis 11:27, you notice it says Terah is the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Nahor is the father of, if we go to Genesis 22 and 23, Bethuel is the father of Rebekah, it says. And Bethuel in verse 22 of Genesis 22 is the son of Nahor, according to verse 20 there, whose wife, the wife of Nahor, that is, was Milcah, she was called. So Nahor, the brother of Abraham, who was also a son of Terah, was the grandfather of Rebekah, and Rebekah was therefore a descendant of Terah, and that's why we said she's called Mother Earth or Gaia in the Greek pantheon of gods. But also we have a correspondence that I just looked at. What was I just showing? But I want to go somewhere else. I want to go to Genesis 47, and because there's Joseph, I think it's 17. Yeah, here it is, 47:17. Joseph kept giving them bread in exchange for their horses. So that's why Poseidon is the god of horses. It's in the Bible as well. So, I mean, there are a lot of reasons for this. But before we forget, before I forget this, the research I was just doing today, which I want to bring up right now, let's go to the other article here that I was looking up, which was Moses. In the Moses article, I mentioned in that article, which came after Joseph and Owen, but a couple of articles after it. And I just have to make the text a little bigger here. And Owen. Where is it? Make sure we can find it again here. Is that it? Yeah, in the article Joseph and Owen, it was previously noted, I said, in the article Moses. And what's it called? Moses drawn out of water or something? Let's see. Let's go by. Let's go. What's it called? Moses drawn out. Moses drawn out, it's called. This article that I wrote, it's also called On Vacation, but it's not really the name of the article. It identifies it, though. So we go down here. Here it is. We're getting there. This is important, though. We understand that the definition of own in the book, Kadesh Barnea, there was a glimpse of this title given, that is Lord of On, a title given to the Egyptian pharaoh Ramesses III. Okay, he's not the most famous Ramesses, but he's famous because of the invasion of the Sea Peoples in his year 8. Very important pharaoh. But on a wall of a temple at Medinet Abu in Thebes, the pharaoh, who is dated by us as 850 years after Joseph came into Egypt. He's 1223, the date of that pharaoh. So why do we say 1223, 850? Let's see. That's not 850, is it? I don't think so. I'm going to get sidetracked here. Well, I think we have some time. 1223 plus 850. That's 2073. That's not right. 1923 to 1223. It's 700 years. But Joseph came into Egypt only some in about 1936 BCE, 13 years earlier than that. So it's 713 years. So I've used the 850 years there because why? Not sure why. It's the wrong number anyway, 800, but it's a large number of years anyway, 700 and some years. This pharaoh, Ramesses, lived, he was dated. It's not even in conventional chronology, it's only 40 years more. It's just still only 750 years or something. It's not 850. I don't know why that says that. But Joseph came, the point is not that. It's the point that this king, Ramesses III, lived long after Joseph. And he was called on that temple wall at Medinet Abu, Hak-On he's called, Hak-On. That's the name inscribed on that wall. Hak-On means Lord of On. The word Hak is from the word, like the rooster, the cock, Hak or cock, because you'd have the hard sound. Hak, you know, it would be pronounced cock for those who could pronounce it. And so it would get that hard guttural letter at the beginning, like the sound of a K sound. So that's why the throne name of the pharaoh we identified as Joseph is Khaki Peri, because he's Lord, right? Khaki Peri. And Kakauri, who came after him, and that was his son, whom we identified as Ephraim, was called Kakauri in his throne name, and there's that name Hak again, Lord. And the word Poses means Lord in Greek, and we're going to see that because it's from Woodhouse, okay? The dictionary of Woodhouse, in fact, I've got it ready, Jehovah willing, right here. On Woodhouse's English-Greek dictionary, page 411 from 1910, this dictionary says, so this is ancient Greek, right? Or it's English-Greek dictionary. The Attic, it's the dictionary of the Attic, which is the ancient Greek language, right? The Attic Greek. So, A-T-T-I-C, it's the ancient Greek, the Attic Greek. It says husband means, in Greek, poses. Poses, spelled pi, omicron, sigma, iota, and sigma. Poses. That's the word meaning husband, right? According to Woodhouse. Now, I found it there. Is there another place I found it? I think there is. Let's see. Yeah, I believe there's a couple of places where we see this information. It's so important. I just can't keep track of everything. There's so many different things. It's all so valuable. Here it is, here. Oh, yeah. Okay, no, this is from a different source. This is from Donegan. Donegan's dictionary, where you look it up according to the Greek word instead of the... I've just cut this snippet from Donegan's dictionary. That's dated 1842, I think. Come on. One moment, please. 1842, J. Donegan, James Donegan, I believe it is, published this dictionary, and on page 1032 of this dictionary, you see this entry, Poses, a husband, a bridegroom. So he agrees with that definition of Poses. So that's where Poseidon may be said to come from, and that's what I believe, because of his other inscription, Hak-On, which means Lord of On, for Ramesses III. So there's a lot of reasons for believing Poseidon means Lord of On, but it's a lot of research involved, and it's not the kind of research where you just believe everything. You're looking very hard to find what you're looking for. In this case, the definition of posies. But anything that looks like the beginning of the word Poseidon, the name Poseidon. And so, you know, you could look up the word Poseidon without the O-N at the end, but you won't find anything other than Poseidon. So far I haven't, anyway. But as we saw in that little quote there from that book by Donegan, there's also this other definition of, or the other forms of this word, posis. It also could end EOS, posios, it looks like, right? Or posios IOS. Posis, posis, bridegroom. You know why that seems so right, too? It has to be the right definition because it says Joseph married the daughter of the priest of On. That's why we're so sure about it. Now, this little excerpt we just were reading is from the article Moses, about almost halfway down the page. And we talk about the prefix khaki. It's a synonym for Lord because of this word hack, of course, from hack on, but also it's just, we know the definition of khaki. We know what that means from the Egyptian language. The thing is, that's an Egyptian word, and so is hak-on. But only two Egyptian rulers, Khakipere and his son Khakaori, or Joseph and his son Hercules, right? Only those two had this prefix of khak on their names. On their name. Both had, see, only two of them I wrote this sentence in a very peculiar way again. This looks like it needs editing for grammar. But only two of these, only two of all the Egyptian pharaohs had the prefix khak on their name. And it was Joseph and his son, Ephraim, is what it looks like. When we identify Joseph as one of the pharaohs, it's got to be this first king, Khakipere, the first one, because he's the one who's called Senesret II. He was the pharaoh who built the huge waterwork construction. And so, even though he didn't build it at that time, necessarily, when he was, or he built it according to Zechariah Sitchin, the story that he related, during the time that is, Khakipere built the waterwork known as Joseph's Canal later, after he was no longer ruling, and he did it at the age of 100 years old, and he did it during the time of the king called Moiris, who was Amenemhet III, who succeeded Khakaori. But anyway, this khak word is, it implies the word cock or rooster, right? That's where we get the idea, Lord of On. And you know how a rooster poses when he stands in the, a rooster stands around posing in the barnyard, right? As he's a poser. Well, he's opposing, he's not opposing, but he's not opposing, he's posing. He poses as this dominant form, this dominant presence in the barnyard, right? That's another way of looking at this word Poseidon or posis. He's posing. And not only that, Joseph was second in command of all Egypt, so he was posing as Pharaoh, wasn't he? So it fits in all these different ways. Even in the English language, it fits. The idea of the poser, or the, there's a beautiful illustration of Rachel, or Night, as she's called, in the Egyptian pantheon, or the mythology. She's this Night. She's personified. She personifies the Night. She represents the Night the nighttime with all its stars, and she protects with her body, spanning across enormous, enormous distances with her arms extended to the ground. And it's a beautiful, beautiful illustration with the blue sky at night, the dark blue. Now, back in our article, I want you to know that I consider it a very great privilege to be able to share with you my greatest learning, and which communication leads to the greatest joy for me, limited only by the need for caution and truthful examination, keeping in mind the scriptures about not throwing what is holy to dogs. Well, let's go. We're nearly out of time, it seems, almost. It's just remarkable how much we've already covered. Now, in the article, true also, what was I looking up in there? Joseph Annone, right. I mentioned that somewhere in there. Let's see what else we have. That's the only reference to it? Somewhere in there, there's something about Kaki Perry, maybe. No. Anyway, there was something that I was looking up. Oh, I know. Probably it was Rachel, or maybe. No, not Rachel. I probably spelled it wrong. No, it's not that. Okay. E-W-E? No. Oh, I just got sidetracked. That was... Why am I looking at the article through there? Oh, okay. Here? Right. Yeah. Well, we were looking at the article Moses. I wanted to go down. That's what I wanted to do. Look at the actual sequence of articles. I want to show you how much research I did at the time I wrote this. Because it was just that article, Joseph Annone, was an immense amount of research in that one article. And that was only one article. Look at all the other articles that were written at that time. Joseph was written in 2009. At the very end of that year, it was published. And Joseph Annone was written, it's just called Owen here, number 7 on the list. It was written in 2010 and early in the year. So I did that in a few months. In a few months, in less than 3 months, I wrote Owen. And then I wrote Phoenix in another very short span of time. In less than a month, in 5 days, it looks like, according to that, 6 days. And then I wrote Moses in the summer and fall of that same year, the article Moses drawn out. And that is all, I was doing all that work in a very intense period of research that I'll never be able to get back to that. Well, I probably won't want to because I'll be doing other things, but the thing is, it's very, almost impossible to imagine the amount of work I was doing at the time I wrote this, and where those, you know, misquotes from the Bible dictionaries about the name Eve occur. It's, there it is. But here we're talking about a different Eve where it says the snake. Anyway, those misquotes don't seem very serious because of the number of correspondences and the amount of proof that this really is a true correlation between the Greek mythology and the Egyptian mythology, as you know, and the Roman, for that matter, mythology with the Bible. There's a direct correlation between the mythologies of those ancient time people, ancient peoples, because there was no chronology in mythology. There was no time period involved in mythology. It spanned over all the time periods. But the correspondence between the Bible, which does have now a chronology in our explanation of it, in our establishing of the genealogy, the Bible does correspond so very closely, does it not, with those mythologies that it's impossible to deny, to deny that the name Rachel has the meaning of Eve, meaning night. It's impossible to deny it, even though it was probably just a typo that led to that discovery. But the snake was the most cautious of all creatures, as I read on here, and it was this that seduced Eve away from the obedience due to the Creator. That's the first Eve. And led to Adam's expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Now, Eve was to become the mother of all living. So that was what her name meant. And that is similar to Rachel, because Rachel, as a female sheep, was also the mother of all the living souls that came from her, one of whom was Joseph, of course. But now, Joseph was not in the line of the Messiah, so it doesn't quite mean the same. But Eve's disobedience led to Adam's expulsion from the Garden of Eden, that paradise of pleasure. Humans indeed may have the understanding of the animals, but animals not of humans. Poseidon has the meaning of husband of own as well as that of lord of own. Right? As we've seen. Now, we can safely say we've actually seen that in our research, in our other articles, in the research of the Bible dictionaries or the Greek dictionary specifically, not the Bible dictionary. But Joseph is said to have married Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. It is with pleasure that we note the redundancy here, for that was from the Bible where it says he married Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. For Poti means priest, and Pharaoh means house of Re, or Ra. Or, in other words, On. Because, or Heliopolis. Because On was the city of the sun god Ra, because Heliopolis means city of Helios, and Helios is the sun god. Right? And that was the dwelling place, or house of the sun god, that city. The problem with ancient Egyptian is the fact that the language is no longer in use today, which makes the translation considerably more difficult. But it seems a safe conclusion for now to say that Potipharah actually means priest of On, that is to say, priest of Heliopolis. Who, however, is this priest of On, and how does it relate to the story of Joseph and Poseidon? For the Bible says that Joseph married the daughter of the priest of On, and since we found that Joseph and Poseidon are the same person, Poseidon being the lord of On, it seems, freely speaking, absurd to believe that the priest of On is unknown. Well, there we saw Poseidon means husband of On, and he married the daughter of the priest of On. It fits absolutely perfectly, as well as you could ever hope for it. If it said lord of On instead of husband of On, we wouldn't have this additional confirmation from the Bible that he married the daughter of the priest of On. So he was the husband of that city by marrying the daughter of the priest of that city. It's a perfect correlation, is it not? That's it for today, though. That was a wonderful thing for me. And I'm glad I shared it. It was a wonderful research project, and I'm still doing it, it seems. But February 5th it is. Today, the year 2025 of the Common Era, and the time is 21:58 Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much, and thank you so much for listening and watching once again. And in my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. I think we covered only about paragraph 40 and 41, part of it.